I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the apostle has gone on to speak here about living spiritually, spiritual gifts, availing ourselves of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God within. And so he starts off this chapter not wanting us to be ignorant regarding these gifts. We left off last time letting you know what this word gift means. In the last verse of this chapter, it says here, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way," speaking of those things that he's going to bring out in the coming chapters. But this word gift is in the Greek is charisma. Charisma is the Greek word for gift. And so we made this reference to verse number 31, because you can see there in your King James translation that in verse number 1, gifts is italicized. So added by the translators to give us help understanding. And so this is, I believe, the reason that they inserted that there, because it is speaking about gifts to men, gifts to women, by the Holy Spirit of God who has saved them. And members in one of the Lord's churches. He equips us as he is pleased. Made mention about this the last time. Want to put an additional emphasis upon it again. If you will, you can hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 12. I'd like you to turn over here in John chapter 3. Here were the after the Lord's dealt with Nicodemus and other things we're told here regarding a period of time where the Lord Jesus with his church, his disciples, is pursuing the ministry, and also Brother John with his disciples are pursuing the ministry that he has been given. And it says here in verse number 34, and this is John the Baptist speaking. He says here, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God," speaking about how his disciples should follow the Lord Jesus. He's declared it, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he said earlier in this chapter, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And John's disciples are jealous over the more folks following the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to give more clarity there in that verse, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, : for God giveth not the Spirit by measure," and then in italics, "unto him." The Lord Jesus, as a man, has got all of the Spirit of God, every bit of it. And so he is our head, as we've taken a look at this about headship in the Scriptures. He is our head individually. He is our head corporately as his church. And he has what's needed to equip us for what we need to do. And so we left off in 1 Corinthians 12 here in verse number 11, the working of the Spirit of God within us. He says here in verse 11, "But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit," the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, all the same, "dividing to every man severally as he will." And so he parses it out. He gives it out to us. And he does so for a reason. And I think that the Greek word for gifts being charisma, that these gifts that we have that we can use for the service, worship, praise, and honoring and glorifying of our Lord are indeed the Spirit of God working in us. We need to avail ourselves to them, and we need to pursue them, and we need to not quench them and squelch them. We need to use them. Because if the Lord's given them unto us, we need to use them all. And then in Romans chapter 12, take a look over here, and it's interesting how dealing with the church at Rome, he has the same, the Apostle Paul, and of course it's under the leadership of the Lord, he's got a specific outline for him, and he's got a general outline for him, okay? And we see that revealed here, right in line with what we're reading here in 1 Corinthians 12. In Romans 12, well, let's take a look here at verse number 3, Let's take a look here. It says here, for I say, because he says he begs them, present your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. The statement that the Lord made that we saw this morning in regards to Abraham being told of the Lord to go and sacrifice Isaac, his only son, a statement that is made there is God will accept nor receive any human sacrifice. There's not to be any human sacrifice amongst mankind. The Lord made a human sacrifice, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only human sacrifice that's ever has and ever will make a difference. But we're not to be sacrificing humans, okay? So the Lord put an end to that right there. People don't sacrifice people. Here he says, not death, but life, a living sacrifice we should be, okay? And then he goes on to say here, for I say, through the grace given unto me, Romans 12:3, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We have ability. It's been given by the Lord. We have wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12 lists out a whole different, several different things that are given unto men and women in the church. And we need to always remember, it's what we have, we've been given. We didn't develop it or procure it of ourselves. And maybe we say, well, I went to school, I went to college, I went to this, I went to that, or I sought this out or learned this on my own. Yeah, and the Lord gave us the wherewithal to be able to do that, make that pursuit, okay? But he says here, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He gives a measure. He gives a measure of ability. And he goes on there in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. He's talking to the church at Rome about the same thing he's talking to the church at Corinth about. And then, lastly, for just a reference here about Jesus has all of the Spirit, and he gives his Spirit unto us as we need it. Let's go ahead and, I'm sorry, Romans 12:6. Let's read here. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, okay? Understand the word grace is a broad brush term. It is a broad term. The word grace is a summary term, okay? We need to understand that. Grace is not a bad word, okay? Grace is not a bad word, but it is a summary term. When you go looking at particular what grace is, the Lord does a lot of operating and a lot of working and a lot of giving and a lot of moving and a lot of stirring under the word grace, okay? And so here it's just a broad brush way to describe all the good things that the Lord gives unto us, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching according to the proportion given, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And he goes on to speak about love, we're going to see about that in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And then lastly, Ephesians 4, just to make this clear about how we need the Lord and how it is the Lord that ministers unto us the gifts, the faith, the way that the things that we can do in this flesh and be used to do his work, do his service, and worship him in that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, let me get the right book. Ephesians 4, verse 4, he says here, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, we're saved the same. Our hope is the same. The promises of the Lord to us are the same. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, okay? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So he has an individual purpose for each and every one of us, and then he has a collective purpose for us all in the church. And what a wondrous thing that the Lord has done for us in the church is that he's taken all these members and fitly joined us together and given us gifts and ability and different things that together we might be the whole that he wants us to be. Okay? And therein we need one another. And so, but unto everyone, in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so gifts indeed, charisma indeed. And when I use that, I refer to that Greek word, I'm not talking about charisma that is, we know to be negative and wrong and the stirring of the flesh. But understand, you have a gift to do a thing. That's the Spirit of the Lord working in you. That is, the Spirit is life. Life and ability unto good things that are mentioned here and are otherwise. Like it says here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 10, things that are mentioned here, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation and such as that, and you name it. We've got some that can do accounting good. We've got some that can teach. We've got some that can think up creative things when we need that. We've got some that can do all kinds of different facets and aspects in the church. The Lord has put us together and gives that. It is his blessing upon us. And so now the individual has been addressed. Now the collective is addressed, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse number 12. For as the body is one body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so we are individuals, but we are in this church, an Olmsted Baptist Church, called together into this one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that's that ordinance of baptism showing burial and then resurrection, burial to self, sin, the world. That's what's happened to the individual. Alive in Christ, that's regards to salvation. Alive to following a new way, not the old way. Old things are passed away and all things are new. New and what, and so it's by baptism, that gateway, that entrance into the church. It's what it's speaking about. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now this is one local body, not a universal visible or invisible church. And today when you hear somebody talking about the church, They're not talking about the church institutionally. They're talking about this great big body of Christ that's in great doctrinal disagreement if what they say is true, which it's not. But we're baptized into this one body. They get that confused with the family. You're not baptized into the family other than maybe baptism by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Okay, salvation. But by water baptism, you're baptized. You and I are baptized into his local church. And so that's the capacity. That's the context that he's speaking to us. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. It doesn't make any difference about our station or our ethnicity or our tribe or the peoples that we are from. Whether we be bond or free, a slave or a free man, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so maybe even a reference there about the Lord's Supper and how we observe that this morning. Indeed, we have partaken of our Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord has moved within us. We have been born again. We've been born again. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus speaks to those folks following him around there. At that time, the free lunch crowd, they're at hand. And he says unto them, in the end, he says unto them, and as a matter of course, he says, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And then they're offended and they go away. They can't stand it. They say the free lunch is not worth listening to this. And so they go away. But the Lord says in verse number 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Spiritual words regarding the spiritual. We need to partake of the Lord in salvation and in a spiritual thing, not in a physical thing. He wasn't talking about cannibalism, but totally partaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for us. So verse number 14, 1 Corinthians 12, 14. For the body is not one member, but many. This is the example that is given. The allegorical example that's given that we might understand about the church is that of a body that each and every one of us has. If we were all a head, it'd be hard to eat, and we would not go anywhere. But we do have hands attached to arms in the design of the Lord, and typical. We do have a torso. We do have legs and feet with fingers and toes. All of it being connected, all of it having a purpose. He says, not one member. If we were all hand, if we were all a hand, we still couldn't eat. We still couldn't survive. And we could get around maybe than we could more if we were all a shoulder. But it just wouldn't be too, it wouldn't be too pleasant, would it? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But we're many, and that's a blessed thing. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, the discontentment, I want to be the hand rather than the foot. Well, you know what? Whatever it is, whatever part I am, that's a part I need to be, because that's what the Lord's made me. As a brother mentioned this morning in Sunday school class, contentment with godliness is great gain. So the way the Lord's made me, the way the Lord's made you, we just need to quit mullygrubbing about what we're not and be thankful for what we are. And then if we see in ourselves that we need to grow, let us not be envious or jealous one another, but let us pursue the things that we find ourselves to be in lack of, that we might one up our brothers and sisters in Christ. No, that we might glorify our Lord. The foot shall say, behold, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No, the answer is no. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And see, we need the different parts, just like we need each and every member of the church. How is it with a body that's scattered? It's no good when a body is scattered. It's not too lively. That's the reason that we need to be together when we set a times to and appoint times for worship. We need to do all we can to be together and for any other ministry that the church would undertake. He says here, he says, if it were an eye, how would you hear? Or if all were an ear, where would be the smelling? How would we smell things, the nose and that faculty? But now if God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So we come to this point. Has the Lord saved you? Yes. Does the Lord want you as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church? I am convicted so. Well, brothers and sisters, let us then be a part and not a spectator. Let us draw near. Let us be a part. Let us be involved where we can. And let us be near, not far. It grieves my heart to hear folks say, being a member of a church, well, they over there do so and so, like they're this visitor, like they're this person that's apart from this body. They over there do this. It grieves me. I can get to the point of anger if I dwell on it too long, and I shouldn't do that. But I mean, that's ridiculous. If you're a member, if you say, I'm convicted of the Lord, he saved me, and I'm convicted to be a member here at this church, Olmsted Baptist Church, be a part. Draw near. Get in there to do what you can do. Because see, the testimony is, God wants me here. It has pleased him to put me here. And he says, he has put the body together as has pleased him. So if we say that we're a part of Olmsted Baptist Church and we're convicted of the Lord to be a part of Olmsted Baptist Church, then that's of the Lord, and we need to be about being a part of Olmsted Baptist Church. Now, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Each individual member for the whole, as we see here in verse number 14. The body is not one member, but many. Okay? Verse number 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And so he says, if it was all, everybody was a hand, or everybody was an eye, or everybody was an ear in this allegory, how would you even have a body? You wouldn't have a body. There would be no torso. There'd be no arms, no elbow, no elbows or anything like that. But now, verse 20, key verse, are they many members yet one body? One body, got fingers, hands, arms. What part am I, Brother Jim? I don't know. I don't know what part you are. It's not a. We don't have to equate anyone to the connection of what part you are. So you're an arm, you're a leg, you're a kneecap. No, we don't have to do that. We just need to understand that we're put together to understand. He gives us this allegory, this analogy of the body to understand how we are joined together. And we're in need of one another. We need one another. Do you and I think in the church that, well, I'm glad they're not here. We don't need them anyway. I tell you what, we do need them. If God has put us in here, we need one another, period. It is a detriment to the body, to us individually, when we are not near. And we've got some elderly. We got some folks that are shut in. And they want to be here, and I think that they would be here if they could be here. And when the body gets so wore out that you just can't get around like you used to, the Lord knows that. I tell you what, we still miss them because they're still a part of us. We do. We should. If we don't, something's wrong with our heart. But we're not talking about physical, real limitations that do come about, say, in this case, in this example, because of age. The Lord understands that. We need not forget them because they are a part of us. We need not forget them. And things do happen. But then when we're goofing off, the Lord knows that too, doesn't he? And we don't need to be goofing off having made this commitment of church membership. But now they are many members, yet one body. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand. Okay, so this one-uppedness, this respecter of persons thinking, this greater ability to the disregard of another. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Until you get that speck in there. Till you get that piece of dust or that piece of grit in that eye, and you sure need that hand to get it out. Amen? The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, what are you all doing down there? You're so far away. You're always dragging the ground, aren't you? But the head doesn't go anywhere without the feet. How would it be on a head to roll around all over the place? I'm pretty ugly the way I am. Can you imagine how it would be if I had to roll around, my head roll around? It's kind of a terrible thought, isn't it? But how would you like to get up steps without feet? Just being a head. You think you're a head. How about going down steps? That'd be even worse, wouldn't it? See? I mean, that's the understanding that we need to get. We need one another. So the head, and understand this. Do you see a reference here to head? That's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about this allegory, this analogy of using the body to describe how we're all put together. Okay? And so it doesn't take anything away from what we read and over here and see and are taught in chapter 11. It doesn't take anything away from that. But it is interesting how the Lord put that in the scriptures and uses that. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In this, he's not talking about the Lord Jesus, our leader. He's just talking about another body part, like the hand, like the foot, like the knee, like the eye, like the ear. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Feet are ugly, but we need feet, right? I wear shoes and socks because I don't like going barefoot. Some people love going barefoot. Most of my children, they like going barefoot. But you know what? We need our feet. You let your foot start hurting. I tell you what, slows down everything, doesn't it? Let a foot start hurting. Needful. Feet are needful. Every part is needful. But nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, like say an ear. We all accept that we've got ears. But you know, I mean, until you need to hear something, at least the outer part of your ear is just hanging around. It's just kind of there, right? I mean, there it is. It's kind of hanging there, and it's there. But then when you need to, what was that? He's going to talk about distinction of sounds. To be without our hearing would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? To be without our sight would be a terrible thing. And so the Lord in this tempering, he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness because of this fitting together and working together. All parts of the body serve the others. That's the way that it is, because the body is one. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And so the wonder and working of our Lord. You know, the world looks on at a little old Baptist church out in the countryside of Kentucky and says, what is going on there? Right? But then the thing is in that place amongst those people is the work of God that is going on. You know, we're going to be called an account for it, and we all have an opportunity and a privilege to serve in it, in this calling of the Lord that he's given to us here at Olmsted Baptist Church, and the blessed years that the church has been here, the future that we have, and we pray. We've been praying in the men's prayer class, and I pray individually that the Lord would cause Olmsted Baptist Church to be here until our Lord Jesus comes, whether that be in the day of our lives or in decades to come, that the Lord would raise up, save sinners, and add them to the church, and put them here, that this church would continue on in this service. The Lord may use IBM and Exxon and Shell and all kinds of different huge companies. He uses them to do whatever he wants to. But you know what he's most interested in on this earth? Institution-wise, as far as groups of people pursuing an effort, he's most interested in his churches, the institution of his church. And I'm not by any means belittling that of families, okay? I'm talking about like churches in comparison to companies. The Lord's interested in his churches. He does what he wants with the others, but he is interested in his churches. So this putting together, this fusing, this the way the Lord has done so, the comely parts have no need, the tempering of the body together, he gives honor to that which lacked. Verse 25, why? That there should be no schism, no division. See, that's what was going on at Corinth. There was division. I'm of Paulus. I'm of Cephas. I'm of this one. There were some that had it right, said, I'm of Christ. That's who we all ought to be of, is of Christ. We don't need to have any schism. Now, we may have some schisms, but if we do, we need to get them straightened out. May the Lord help us to get them straightened out. May the Lord help us to squelch them and put those down and be unified in our Lord. Our Lord's got one purpose and one direction for us to go. We may have times that we don't understand what in particular that way is. We need to pray and seek His face. But I tell you what, we as a body, we need to be unified in this work and this pursuit of the great commission that our Lord has given us. The church is not here to serve ourselves. We are helped. We are encouraged. We are blessed. We are lifted up. But the church is here to serve our Lord. Our Lord. That there should be no schism in the body, this tempering together, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Stub your little toe. You don't think about your little toe doing much for you, but when the little toe gets stubbed, you are very concerned about it. And when that mosquito come this spring and summer comes and bites you on the earlobe, you don't ever think much about your earlobe, but when you get stung, everybody, if you will, you understand, the entire body is very much concerned about how much that hurts, or wasp bit, or heaven forbid, hornet stung, or something like that. Everything, the feet don't sit down there and say, "What is going on up there?" But they start moving around, don't they? Right? Because there is a concern one for another. It says here, "And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it." That's the way it should be. "Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." That's the way it should be. "Now ye are the body of Christ," members in particular, but the body of Christ, where there's to be no division, to be no schism, indeed. "And God hath set some in the church." Here, this passage is taken and to give understanding, and I used to believe this, that the 12 men that would be chosen as apostles were the first members of the Lord's church. And one day I looked to preach a message about that along with the size of the church from what we get from the scriptures. But brothers and sisters, understand this. The church is a mystery, but the church is not mystical. We don't need to make more out of the church than it is. And the church is a grand and great and glorious thing. But the church is simply, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His first church, which is what we're talking about, was simply when that first disciple, when He called them and said, "Come follow Me," that was the Lord beginning to build His church right there. Disciples following the Lord. This right here is talking about not the beginnings of the church, but the beginnings, the order of leadership within the church. That's what I'm convicted and convinced that it is. Here, I'll just give you this one point as to why. Because, brothers and sisters, there were a number of disciples and men, disciples, from whom the Lord chose His apostles. He already had a group, and then we know there's at least plus one, Brother Matthias, because that was how he was able to replace Judas, because he was with them from the beginning. Okay? And then there's the 70 that the Lord sends out, and so He's not going to be around there with the 12 apostles. Send out the 70. And them not be members of His church. Okay? So here we're talking about leadership. And the subject here of the chapter is gifts. He said, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles." We can take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 in regards to this. The Lord's gift unto the churches is leadership, Himself being the head. And when He was there with His first church unto Jerusalem, He was the physical, ever-present leader. And then when He accomplished His gospel, taught them for 40 days before the day of Pentecost, and then ascended up on high, He had the apostles there to be the next leadership in the church in his stead for that time of transition, the keys of the kingdom having been taken from Israel and given to his church that he left there in Jerusalem. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, that was the first office besides our Lord as leader. Secondarily, he gave prophets that they might understand about the future and what they should do. Understand, the New Testament scriptures are not at hand. We have a natural tendency to think that the way it is with us is the way it's always been. And we've got other things that we think too, like with our country, we think that English is the only language. Well, to us it is, but there's a whole rest of the world there that thinks that their language is the language, okay? And so just because it's American and just because it's English doesn't mean it's the end all. That's a subject for another time. Got to set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, as he's talked about, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, all kinds of different things. Are all apostles? No. Now, there's some today that claim to be apostles. Are they? No. No, they are not. Are all prophets? No, not all are prophets. He's taking this to understand these leadership and these gifts that that have been already witnessed in the churches, to understand that the Lord doesn't do everything with everybody, but he does what he chooses and meets out his spirit and these gifts as pleases him and what he looks to accomplish with a given body. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues or languages? Do all interpret those languages? Is that the way it is? Not all. Not all. Everybody's got their gift from the Lord. Gift or gifts from the Lord. Use them. Don't squelch them. Don't push them away. But use them. And he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, which he will speak about, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In this next chapter, the agape, the love chapter, charity, he's going to tell them, he's going to lay it out for us where it all needs to start, how it all needs to move forward. What's the motive? What's the drive? What's the pursuit of what we do for our Lord in our lives and in the church? What's the drive that's at hand? What needs to be behind it? A small chapter, but really packed full of instruction for us indeed. So next time, Lord willing, we'll pick it up there. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life.